Well, hello everybody, and welcome. This is Turning Towards Life, and we are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we're here again for the 200 and somethingth week. And it's feeling very, very grateful to be here, Lizzie. Very grateful to be here with you, and welcome everyone, wherever you are, with us live on Facebook in our Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join, or whether you're on a podcast or on YouTube or on our turningtowards.life website, wherever and whenever you found your way to this conversation. We are so glad to be with you. And there is a real sense that this conversation takes place, Lizzie, not just between you and I, but over space and over time as well. I was speaking to someone just this week who had found her way to us and was listening to recordings from almost 5 years ago. And of course, those conversations still unfold in time. So it's miraculous that we can do this. And you and I, Lizzie, also have just been talking about how healing it is to be in this conversation in the midst of the many kerfuffles of small and giant scale in the world, in our lives, and in the world as well. So I'm feeling particularly glad in the midst of things to be here with you.
Me too, Justin. I'm very glad for the ordinariness of the kerfuffling of going live and pressing the buttons and potentially posting into the wrong group on Facebook and all that business. So we've got this source today, which is a wonderfully long poem called Sometimes a Wild God by somebody called Tom Hirons, who I don't know personally, but who has come to us through various means. And this has been in my, you often talk about, Justin, the kind of the file or something of all of the possible sources for Turning Towards Life. And this has been in there for a little while for me. And I've really sat with it and felt very compelled by it. And I have no idea what I have to say about it yet. And so I'm bringing something that I'm really trusting the emergence of what gets said between us here to wander into this together. All I know is that it's extremely attractive to me to read this and to kind of wonder about what it means and how it features in my life. So here we go. It's called Sometimes a Wild God by Tom Hirons. And Tom, if you're listening, thank you for being who you are, that this comes through you, out of you, of you. Here we go. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward and does not know the ways of porcelain, of fork and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine. When the wild god arrives at the door, you will probably fear him. He reminds you of something dark that you might have dreamt, or the secret you do not wish to be shared. He will not ring the doorbell. Instead, he scrapes with his fingers, leaving blood on the paintwork, though primroses grow in circles around his feet. You do not want to let him in. You are very busy. It is late or early. And besides, you cannot look at him straight because he makes you want to cry. Your dog barks. The wild god smiles. He holds out his hand, and the dog licks his wounds, then leads him inside. The wild god stands in your kitchen. Ivy is taking over your sideboard. Mistletoe has moved into the lampshades, and wrens have begun to sing an old song in the mouth of your kettle. I haven't much, you say, and give him the worst of your food. He sits at the table bleeding. He coughs up foxes. There are otters in his eyes. When your wife calls down, you close the door and tell her it's fine. You will not let her see this strange guest at your table. The wild god asks for whiskey, and you pour a glass for him and then a glass for yourself. Three snakes are beginning to nest in your voice box. You cough. Oh, limitless space, oh, eternal mystery, oh, endless cycles of death and birth, of miracle, oh, miracle of life, oh, the wondrous dance of it all. You cough again, expectorate the snakes and water down the whiskey, wondering how you got so old and where your passion went. The wild god reaches into a bag made of moles and a nightingale skin. He pulls out a two-reeded pipe, raises an eyebrow, and all the birds begin to sing. The fox leaps into your eyes, otters rush from the darkness, the snakes pour through your body, the dog howls upstairs, and upstairs your wife both exults and weeps at once. The wild god dances with your dog. You dance with the sparrows. A white stag pulls up a stool and bellows hymns to enchantment. A pelican leaps from chair to chair. In the distance, warriors pour from their tombs. Ancient gold grows like grass in the fields. Everyone dreams the words to long forgotten songs. The hills echo and the grey stones ring with laughter and madness and pain. In the middle of the dance, the house takes off from the ground. Clouds climb through the windows, lightning pounds its fists on the table, and the moon leans in. The wild god points to your side. You're bleeding heavily. You have been bleeding for a long time, possibly since you were born. There is a bear in the wound. Why did you leave me to die? Asks the wild god, and you say, I was busy surviving. The shops were all closed. I didn't know how. I'm sorry. Listen to them. The fox in your neck and the snake in your arms and the wren and the sparrow and the deer, the great unnameable beasts. In your liver and your kidneys and your heart, there is a symphony of howling, a cacophony of dissent. The wild god nods his head and you wake on the floor holding a knife, a bottle and a handful of black fur. Your dog is asleep on the table. Your wife is stirring far above. Your cheeks are wet with tears. Your mouth aches from laughter or shouting. A black bear is sitting by the fire. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward and does not know the ways of porcelain, of fork and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine and he brings the dead to life.
O limitless space, O eternal mystery, O endless cycles of death and birth, O miracle of life, O the wondrous dance of it all. You cough again, expectorate the snakes and water down the whiskey, wondering how you got so old and where your passion went. The wild god reaches into a bag made of moles and nightingale skin. He pulls out a two-reeded pipe, raises an eyebrow, and all the birds begin to sing. The fox leaps into your eyes. Otters rush from the darkness. The snakes pour through your body. Your dog howls, and upstairs your wife both exults and weeps at once. The wild god dances with your dog. You dance with the sparrows. A white stag pulls up a stool and bellows hymns to enchantments. A pelican leaps from chair to chair. In the distance, warriors pour from their tombs. Ancient gold grows like grass in the fields. Everyone dreams the words to long forgotten songs. The hills echo and the grey stones ring with laughter and madness and pain. In the middle of the dance, the house takes off from the ground. Clouds climb through the windows. Lightning pounds its fists on the table. And the moon leans in. The wild god points to your side. You are bleeding heavily. You have been bleeding for a long time, possibly since you were born. There is a bear in the wound. Why did you leave me to die? Asks the wild god. And you say, I was busy surviving. The shops were closed. I didn't know how. I'm sorry. Listen to them. The fox in your neck and the snakes in your arms, and the wren and the sparrow and the deer, the great unnameable beasts in your liver and your kidneys and your heart. There is a symphony of howling, a cacophony of dissent. The wild god nods his head and you wake on the floor, holding a knife, a bottle, and a handful of black fur. Your dog is asleep on the table. Your wife is staring far above. Your cheeks are wet with tears. Your mouth aches from laughter or shouting. A black bear is sitting by the fire. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward and does not know the ways of porcelain, of fork and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine and brings the dead to life.
Thank you, Justin. So as you read this, Justin, the feeling that comes over me is the recognition that sometimes things come along that are so outside the realms of normalness or something, and yet they're like the most awakening things in life. And for me, this is an invitation to recognize those left field happenings, either internally or in the circumstance of my life, and welcome them as these wild gods, which of course is me. And to allow this wildness, this untamedness, to have a place at the table, to be listened to be given some time, and to be invited in for the gifts that it's holding, rather than to be held away like I've held it away forever. You know, it feels like this beautiful kind of evocative, rambunctious scene of a poem that breaks things and is impolite and rough and jaggedy. It seems like it would be so possible to ignore it and push it away and pretend it's not there and do all the things I know how to do to pretend and keep something asleep or dormant. And I'm feeling the invitation to kind of let be what's trying to make its way through me, however unpalatable it feels, however annoying it is that something is being asked of me that I don't want to admit, or however confronting a truth is. What if I can treat these things like a wild god? Like even having that language, like, oh, look, this is a wild god. And because of Tom's poem, I know what to do with this wild god. I'm going to give it a drink and let it embarrass me in front of my partner, or I'm going to just let it have its way, whatever it wants to do. And however that makes me feel, I'm going to be with that, because I can feel that there's awakening in it. There's a aliveness in it, that there's a chance that dead things could be brought to life because of its presence and because of what it thinks and feels and says and brings and acts like. And it feels kind of radical, because of course there's all kinds of things in me that are like safety defense mechanisms that don't want that, and what will people think, and is it acceptable, and can I bear it, and am I going to die because of it, and all of those things seem really real to me. And yet I really want to be a person who is gentle enough in myself to be porous to this wildness, this wild god coming in and ruining everything and making it beautiful all at the same time.
Gosh, I found this absolutely exhilarating to hear you read and to read myself. And I love what you just said, Lizzie. I was really struck by what you just said about somehow this is about life itself coming through and having its way with us. I was just deeply, deeply moved and excited and enlivened, particularly by this. There's so much in this to talk about. But by this line, listen to them, the great unnameable beasts in your liver and your kidneys and your heart. Oh my goodness. So, you know, there's also this line in here which says, and I can't find it because it's really early on and there's so much in here, but I do need to say something about it. So it's about having grown old, finding out that we've grown. Oh, here we are. We wonder how we got so old and where our passion went. So, for many of us, oh, this is certainly true of me, so much of our lives has been about, and we have been encouraged in, the arts of keeping everything civilized and under control. Right, and there are great, thank goodness we know how to do that, right? Thank goodness we have in us and between us ways of not being on the rampage all the time, not abusing one another all the time, not just getting what we want all the time, whatever. However, first of all, that doesn't completely work, because we can see it in our societies that the destructive wild darkness that does abuse and dominate and has its, you know, finds its way into the world in all kinds of ways anyway. And it doesn't exactly work for any of us who live only there, because I think this line is so brilliant, because the result of living only there is finding out, wondering how we got so old and where our passion went, if our whole lives have been oriented that way. And so there's something so life-giving and so important about honoring the wild that's in us and the wild that is way bigger and more ancient than us. I think this is one of the reasons I love this line about the great unnameable beasts in your liver and kidneys and your heart. It feels to me so obvious when Tom names it this way that of course that's what they are. You know, it's easy to think of them as these sort of quiet organs getting on with keeping us alive, or maybe getting us in trouble when we get ill or whatever. But they are the inheritance of something way bigger and way wilder and way more unknown than any of us. Long before civilization came along, this was going on. So I can really feel in me, as we're in this conversation, as we're talking about it, how much I want to generalize, but I'll just start with me, how much I need to be in contact with this, how much I long for it to be blown open by something wild that is clearly up to mischief but not malice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that wants to liberate all kinds of things that get kept held very easily, get held very tightly, that are deeply life-giving, irrational, not contained, not certainly not polite, as you said, and yet are life-giving. His voice makes vinegar from wine and brings the dead to life. And many of us actually are just really bereft of places that we can, ways in which we can be in contact with this, either privately or more importantly than with one another. And it feels to me like even just talking about Tom's poem is about a way of being in contact with this with one another, and sort of just starting to feel the edges of it. Maybe in our very, very well-intentioned and well-meaning attempts to put together a very, very rationalistic society, we have lost contact with something greatly, greatly important that Tom is reminding us about, that we would do well to honor and see what we can do to make ourselves porous to and available to, so it can reach us.
Somehow, Justin, I love that you use the phrase on the rampage right next to civilized. I have this thing where, like, sometimes when people just use exactly the right language that somehow appeals to me, it's just the most delightful, excellent experience of being human. And I love that you have that language that makes me feel, I don't know, like I can feel the aliveness in the contradiction and in the particular phrases, and I feel that with Tom's poem as well. Like, I can feel the beautiful kind of creative provocativeness of the language, and feel so appreciative of that. And as you say, Justin, I fully take this as also it doesn't feel to me like this part of me that's the wild god has any malice in it, but that it's a beautiful kind of unwieldy teacher that I get to waft around with. And it's not a, like you said, it's not a contained something, but a rambunctious kind of untethered invitation. That's a gift, really. It's a gift to be received. And I went to a very wonderful 80th birthday the other day, and there were lots of people on the dance floor, and I was quite amazed by the kind of range of people's dancing. And I think lots of the time we think we're doing something. You know, we watched Strictly Come Dancing this year with Vesper, and one of the comments for the judges was, whatever you think you're doing, do it like 1,000 times more, because it feels like we're dancing, but really we're like moving about 1/3 of a centimeter in, I think we're rocking out kind of thing. And I felt like in that dancing, I could see just how constrained, like, just generally we are. We just, this civilization thing has become so compelling as a practice to be civilized and to be social. And so I think I feel the rumblings of this poem all the time. And sometimes I might even be this wild god myself for others, maybe unintentionally and sometimes intentionally. But I can feel the part of me as well that politeness above all else, politeness instead of truth, for example, politeness instead of life affirming itself as what it is, feels very, what's the word? It feels very opposite to what I'm here for. That when civilization and politeness and doing the right thing so that everything stays just the way that it is, I can feel the attraction to that. I can feel the safety of that, and I can feel the habitualness of that and the familiarity of that. And I also feel so compelled by the disorganization of this, because there are certain things that need to be disorganized. There are certain things that are really not working that need to be disorganized. And not just disorganization for just, you know, for everything to be disorganized, because as you say, thank goodness there's a way of finding things, and you know, that we can have the skill and capacity to organize ourselves so we can get dressed in the morning and go out and not be arrested for being running around naked in the streets. Like, yes, that's good. But also, if that's all that there is and all that I'm habitually practicing, I feel like so much vitality is missing. So much life force gets chopped off. And so I feel like this whole thing is permission to receive this for myself in a very straightforward way, like somebody walking through my door who isn't necessarily who I think a person should be in the world. How do I open to that? How do I let them be a wild god that disorganizes me, that reorganizes me, that teaches me, rather than someone that I'm supposed to then bash into shape or expel from my house? What do I have to do to let the wild god have their way with me, and so I'm a welcome and a yes to whatever life is bringing me, rather than a kind of, you need to get with the program of civilization, thank you very much. And I know that there are people in my life that are these wild gods, and I do thank God for them, no matter how annoying or truthful or pointing things out they are. I'm profoundly grateful for that in my life, and it hurts. And just like this poem talks to us, there's blood in it and wound in it and all the things. But I can feel in my humanity that I've made some deep kind of agreement with life that I do want to live. Like, I came here to live. I didn't come here to be asleep. And so whatever awake means, whatever vitality means, whatever openness means, I've already said yes to that a long time ago. So if anything reminds me of that, if anything calls to that, I can't help but be interested in it. And I think that's why this poem for me is like so compelling because I can feel the I can feel the life in it and the challenge in it and the like being shaken awake out of a slumber in it. And that's really what ultimately I think I want. And I think almost by being born, we say yes to that. Like a full spectrum of life, like a full experience of being human is on offer if we enable ourselves to say yes to what, to the wild gods.
I feel so much moving in me, Lizzie, from being here with you and having this conversation. Gosh, so it feels really true to me, and then I can feel all the parts of me that, you know, fight against it, what it is to be in agreement to being in life, to be in agreement to life. And that inevitably, if we're going to be in agreement to life, we're going to be caught up in both what is, you know, sort of, we're going to be caught up in every aspect of it, from the quiet and rational and measured to the wild and surprising. And I was thinking about how different this poem of Tom's would be if it started off like this. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table and you get up and usher him out the door and close the door and bolt the door and that's it. The end. But that is, for, you know, so often for so many of us, you know, I can feel in myself all those times where something in me longs for the contact with life and something else in me is going, no, thank you, not you, not now. I don't want to feel this. I need to keep this under wraps. And it's been a really big and ongoing body of work for me as someone with who quickly grew into a personality pattern of keeping things calm and keeping things measured and keeping things harmonious. You know, this is both deeply inviting and, for those parts of me that got dedicated to that, deeply terrifying. But if I feel into it, it's what I long for the most. I want to be alive, and life is going to be all of these things. It's such a excellent description of what life can be, this poem. So you know, so dancing, the whole thing to say about dancing, but letting myself really let life move through when I dance, it's been years of practice and will be many years yet. My wish is to keep on expanding into that as long as I have a body that can move. I also think this is what we're here for. I really do, that we're here, our being sentient, self-reflective, storytelling beings that can observe and experience and make sense of what we observe. We're here to walk this line between taking care of what we care about and all of the ordering that that takes, and not having that be something which then shuts down aliveness, having both live alongside one another. You know, it's hard. I was also thinking a lot, it's been in the last week or so, it's been International Holocaust Memorial Day, which is also a day for remembering genocides of all kinds. And I was thinking whilst you were talking about how many cultures, how many supposedly civilized, polite cultures have been the generators of unspeakable horrors. And part of that might be, well, first of all, it blows the story that a politeness saves us from our darkness, but it also, as well as a sort of, maybe this is what we're here for, maybe we long for it, and it seems to me there's also a question of how do we meet a wild god and let ourselves be blown apart and include what a wild god has to bring us so that it can be in service of life, rather than pretending this isn't here, keeping it under wraps and justifying hateful and hurtful things to one another. Because we can say, when we're not in contact with this in ourselves, we can also say, well, it's nothing to do with me. The violence in our society is nothing to do with me, because I am, I would never let the wild god in through the door. The last part of this is, for me, is this sense of how important it is then to find the people around whom we feel the welcome for this. even if it's the tiniest amount, you know, the starting place, it might not be that the wild God comes and all these things happen in one go. For some of us, it's that we get to be with someone who begins to awaken. We come across a poem like Tom's, and it begins to awaken us that sense of wonder and awe and allowing and turning towards life more fully as it actually is. That is an extraordinary gift. And just starting to dial down our control and dial up our openness enough that we can begin to feel the edges of what this might be. For some of us, that would be the starting place, and it might be just finding the people in our lives who are that for us, who, when we're with them, we can feel the presence, just the shimmering edge of the presence of this wild aliveness, and to practice letting it be and not pushing it away. Certainly that's been an extraordinarily life-giving path for me to follow.
Making me think, as you talk, Justin, as well, about being a parent and wanting, I want to let my children be the wild gods. Because also, what are they here for? They're here for themselves and life itself, but they're also a gift to me. And if all I'm doing as a parent is kind of battening down the hatches and making everybody behave properly, that doesn't seem to be honouring of the gifts that are wrought. So I can feel like I want to let this wild God phrase become who I define anyone who's brought to me as, especially the children, you know. Like, what if they're the wild gods, like, born to bring me home? You know, I find myself thanking Vesper a lot for coming here, because what she gives me is an opportunity to open to this wildness. And I feel like all the while growing up, I never really had an example of the person that you've painted, Justin, which is somebody who's organized enough to move through life and to be functional, but who also has like an essential wildness intact as well, but will say yes to something or play or do something a bit bonkers because that's what has been asked or something. And so I feel like it really matters to be that, to have those two tracks in me alive to themselves, like to have enough order and enough civilization to be able to participate in life and the systems we're in, even though lots of them probably need a lot of dismantling. But, you know, to even to dismantle something, you have to know it, to feel it, to understand it. But then for this other thing to be right alongside, that is open and natural and has instinct inside of it and juice and madness and wonder and grit. And it feels really important to be an adult that has all of that going, rather than be an adult that is so far from the rampage and so entrenched in civilization that everyone around them only gets to die. You know, it feels like I could be a presence around whom people get to live or die. That feels like the question in this moment to me. And to be open to the wild gods inside of me and outside of me feels like I might then get to be a permission for people to live and to find joy and wildness and exuberance, whilst also having ground and appropriateness for, you know, safety and all of the things that really matter to function in the world. So I feel really hopeful and really invited and welcomed in those different parts, and also like reaffirmed in the kind of like the responsibility I have to be alive whilst being functional, and to not let the functionality hypnotize me, and also I'm feeling the call to I was thinking, Justin, the other day, I got very kind of passionate about something, and someone said to me, hold on a second, take a breath. And I was so kind of internally like annoyed, because that was a little wild God kind of coming to me and saying, hold on a second. It, you know, it's kind of in one way, the opposite of a wild God, which is somebody saying, calm down a bit. but in another way, it is a wild God that is an interruption that says to me, hold on a second. I think what you want to say could be said more clearly if you were a bit calmer or you were a bit more centered. I could find all the pieces of me coming up, like in this poem, like I was busy, I didn't know the shops were open kind of thing. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I'm not up for that right now. But I was open to the wild God. And so I did take a breath, even though I was annoyed. And I thought, I'm going to open to what you're saying, because you're here and I'm here. And this isn't a mistake that we're in this meeting together or whatever. And I feel like I really want that. Even though I know I get annoyed, and even though I know I don't want things, and I just want to be allowed to get away with whatever I want to get away with, I also feel able and wanting to let the wild gods be who they are so that I can be taught. Because I really like learning when I'm really straight with myself. I like it. I know it's painful. I know I've felt like I've been smashed around and broken in pieces and whatever. But the part of me that said yes to a full spectrum life likes that. In the moment, I don't like it, but it's needed, it's wanted, it's what I'm here for. So I guess it's like trying to make the distinction between that part of me that just wants things to stay the same and for people to get out of my way, and I just want to be who I want to be and stop messing with me, and just letting those parts be here, but not letting them run the show, and letting something much more open and undefended run the show, so that the people around me can really bring themselves to me, and that we can be in a relationship rather than me being so filled with preferences that I can't even listen to you.
I love the idea that the wild God might also be the person who says take a breath. That's brilliant. Because I all the way through this conversation, I'm feeling the both sidedness of the polarity that we need. It's good, I think, that we learn from people around us as we grow how to take care of things and how to take care of one another, and how to not just be caught up in some emotional state, and how to come back, and how to think long term, and how all the things that build for the thing that we call civilization, or we might call stability, or we might call containment, or we might call order. And for many of us as adults, if we've been lucky enough to be supported in that part of it enough, because we've overemphasized that side of it in our culture, we're way out of contact with Tom's wild God. But then that wild God might come in any form that wakes us up to some habitual way that we're doing something, confuses us, and gives us a chance to catch ourselves and go, I have really no idea what's going on here, but let me. So it can be take a breath. And somehow when you said that, maybe because it's to do with breath, I found this line, three snakes are beginning to nest in your voice box and you cough. And that sense of when we're being flung about in things, of just how weird and confusing it can be to be in unknown territory, which might be the first time I've taken a breath in the middle of something, or the first time I shift my story about something that's going on and live in the midst of a new interpretation about a meeting or a social setting or what's going on in my family or what's going on in the world. It really is like having snakes in our voice box, like just the weirdest thing. But maybe also that's what I keep hearing and what you're saying, Lizzie, is that there's really something to be said for the gift of cultivating that in us that can be the wild, alive God for others, which is one of the things you just said.
Yeah.
Like, can I be aliveness for other people and not just part of the process of go to sleep, that sort of superficially makes things safe? But can I be open to the wild God in everyone, who almost certainly is going to come like this, like Tom's Wild God does, comes knocking at the door when we don't expect it, in a form that we don't understand, and is going to mess with something that we think is certain, even if it's a lie, even if it's just super familiar, even if, and we're going to have to enter, even if we enter momentarily into this state of contact with how way beyond us strange everything is, and that gives us a chance to come back into contact with something else in us than we've been in contact with before, and not push it away and let it have its chance in the world. So anyone could be, and that's really where I'm feeling very grateful to find myself because of our conversation in this sort of commitment to, can I see if I can keep some part of myself open to that you can be as you are, a wild god in my life, and can I stay open to the ancient beasts in my liver and kidneys, and so that I have a chance of being that kind of aliveness for you and for others. What a set of commitments to live by.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Yeah, and as you're speaking, I was just thinking, if you weren't open to my wild godness, I would feel unwelcome. You know, I can just see that people come along with their wild godness, whatever that is, and we say no. And we do the thing like, you know, your little excellent poem, the wild god knocks at the door, you shut it, bolt the door and turn around and carry on as normal. I feel like that must happen so much. I mean, that's what I'm going to observe myself with now. It's like, what are the ways I'm bolting the door? And something wild and unwieldy comes forth and I just go, boom, and put two bolts over it and turn around and walk away and carry on regardless. I feel like that probably happens all the time. And it's such a different life for both the God standing on the other side of the door and me. Like, it's like I'm going against life, saying no or something, when really what knocked at my door, because that's what life wanted to happen. And me turning around and bolting the door. I mean, it's funny in a way, I can find humor in that, because it's just feels really ridiculous that that's what we do. And we do. You know, someone comes to us and says, I don't like something, or I'm unhappy, or some shameful something that we think we can't be associated with that or something. And we can just walk away. We can do that. Or we can say, what is this? Tell me some more. I'm interested. I don't know what I'm doing, and I feel completely discombobulated, and this is completely unfamiliar to me, and I'm here. Like, that feels much more interesting than no thank you. So I feel like that's, yeah, a wonderful way for me to start the day and to bring a wondering, like we always seem to end up having threads of wonderings from these conversations for me that I take into my life. And I feel so grateful to Tom for writing this. And Tom, if you're listening, another massive thank you from us that you put these words into the world and don't just keep them for yourself in your notebook, but they exist in the world. And Justin, thank you to you for both being a wild god and being open to the wild gods as well. Being someone who wonders about their dancing and how incrementally freer they can be, and for being someone who is open to the wild gods of all the people that come to you with wide open eyes and heart and wondering, and it's really amazing. And I want to thank this space for being itself a wild god, but also being open to the wild gods as well as we gather. And for this poem being a wild god itself is a wild god. And I really love this language. We can say this to each other now, just in a little shorthand. There's a wild god in my presence. Can you help me? Can we talk about the wild god that's here right now? So I just want to say thank you to everybody for your own openness to the wild godness in life. And we'll be back again with another kind of wild god next week, next Sunday. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.